So let's start, shall we, with the Yerushalmi, Ishif Rabbi Tarfon. I'm sorry if I'm not supposed to put your name in vain. Go ahead, will you? Okay. So your master must cast the Torah to know his spot. So we discussed already that raises the problem. It's like it's nice, but the master should be kind. But okay. So now the Yerushalmi asks a question, and it's a very interesting question because it is the question that Rava asks in the Bavli. It's the Pircha that Rava asks. So the question is. Right, so you shouldn't marry your niece because it could be masa mashal kasubatos. As we would say, you shouldn't marry your niece for other reasons, for genetic reasons, something they didn't fully appreciate. But if in fact you're concerned about somebody setting up an external scenario which could lead to some type of interference in the Yibum, so then a person should not marry any person who was an erva with respect to his brother. Now, this is not a common case, but I can give you a much better case. You can figure out what's the case. Who would you tell that you should not marry because it'd be masna masha kasala kara?
Your
brother's wife's sister. Well, most of the arayas, from our vantage point, it borders on the weird. The mutter, but the weird, because we, you know, we generally don't think that the place to go for pickup dates is a family reunion. But that's a pirated line that I don't. But it's not nice to have a group who it's said about. So I chose to just borrow that piece as descriptive to the situation, but not associated with a particular stereotype. But Achos Ishto is not, I mean, you could go to family reunion to meet Achos Ishto, but it's not a blood relative. And hence, it is a perfectly, as we know, I don't think anybody knows here has met anybody who married their niece. I assume not. But I think that some of you claim to know situations where brothers married sisters. So you would say that the second brother shouldn't marry the sister, because if God forbid, the first brother died to marry a woman, what was he supposed to do? The first brother dies without children, then the second brother will not be able to believe him because of having married his wife's sister. So if that is the concern what Rabbi Tarfon has, then why isn't he concerned about that? Nobody ever raised such a concern. Now, it's worth thinking for one second about the internal logic of this. Are these two situations actually comparable?
Yes.
No. Forget the Yerushalmi is going to say that who causes the Isser to come into existence? A brother's daughter is a brother's daughter, right? The Isser exists, and we're not going to restrict a man from marrying his brother's daughter, even though it may come up later. But you have created here, presumably, this artificial thing, right? In other words, here. The answer, which is not such a compelling answer in this context, I think, is that you have created an issue that didn't have to be for your benefit in any way, and that issue then results in the Yibum problem. Whereas when your brother married your daughter, you fell in love with your daughter, so therefore that was the right person to marry, and the fact that later you didn't create that, he didn't create that issue, it's there. That's what you kind of have to say. But I'm asking more, not whether or not the generator of the issue is stated, are the situations actually comparable? Because, a friend would be happy based upon the Yerushalmi's language. I'm asking the question of the Chutz versus Almanas case. Yes, if I. Correct. Right. The difference between Almanas case versus a Chutz case is that if you marry her, if you divorce her, chutz mipluni. So when Pluni's brother dies, she is an ishes ish then and there, like any other erva, and there is no chalos, zilchir of evil chalitza. If he's the only brother, there's none whatsoever. But if it's an almanas, so then that's a more interesting case, because when the brother dies, there is a obligation of evil chalitza, because she is divorced, she was married to the dead brother, and there's a chiyuv yivul chalitza. The problem is, she's not an ishes ish right now.
Right.
The problem is that if he does yivum, lemachreya, A, she turns out to be an ishes, B, it turns out something more. If he does yivum, what turns out to be?
I'm there in the first.
Yes, but that's later, Rabbi. It's already chiyuv
time. Right?
How
did they even hear when he died?
Fine. Good. Excellent. But that's good?
No. Just
that he... So it's a klutz kasha. You gave a good heritage to klutz kasha. I said, but I don't need that. There's something more. Right? Yeah.
There's no
evil anymore. She was never married to his brother. Because when you make it tonight, it turns out that she was never divorced. So she never married his brother. So there's no mitzvah evil. So it's not really comparable to the case of Ezbita. Because it's not that she's an erva. She's not an erva right now when the brother dies. She's not an erva before, and she's not an erva after the deceased brother has died. It's just that you can't do the evil on the technical grounds. That's more of an akiyas mitzvah, right? But if you were thinking that as al tanai, then the question of the Yerushalmi makes no sense. And Rabbi asked that question also. Yes, Jim.
But it works in chutz.
In chutz, it makes sense. The chutz, what you're saying is that she is Munta to marry his brother, and again, if she had Yibum in that case, they'd be violated in Erva Ishtesh Ish, but she still would have been his brother's wife. Right? She could pick up, immediately separate because they're not married, and then, yeah, I think so. The condition can't possibly bind. It's just a bizarre case, but I guess because any case would be the Yibum when there's no Yibum. Arias. Yeah. So it's a very, it certainly sounds like, I don't remember if the Bible says that it's a chutz case. No. The Bible says that gets an almanas. Why? And that's why it's in the discussion that follows in the Yerushalmi here. Why does the Bible going to say it's an almanas case? I know it's because the Bavli, because I reconstructed it, because I'm sitting there fine, but because if it's a chutz case, what happens when his brother marries him? When the brother Shaploni was excluded to get married him, and it was a chutz case, according to the Bavli and according to the Tosefta, what happens? What would the din be after the brother dies?
There's no savior.
Well, the Ishas was hooked up at the time. In other words, remember, according to the Bavli Tosefta, it's about Yerushalmi is about to discuss in its very enigmatic language, lending to many possible interpretations once you edit the Girsa to fit your interpretation, which is what you have to do sometimes. I mean, we don't like editing Girsa, but sometimes it's either we have no clue as to what's going on or there's an error in the Girsa. But in Bavli, Bavli says that Rabbi Tarfon understands Rabbi Eliezer's position by Amanas. Because if he understood it as by chutz, then there would be no kasha. Because when the brother of Pluni marries her, it's makia the rest of the original husband's kedushin, and she's allowed to be evil with his brother because she's no longer an ishus ish even magadi the brother. It's dafka al tanai, where she's not an ishus ish at all. It's just the get will only be chal if something doesn't happen in the future. When that something happens, the whole thing explodes retroactively. She was never divorced. She was never married to his brother. And she's violating, an iteration situation with anybody, including Pluni. Yes, sir.
It's sort of interesting that
So that's the question. So there is a principle that Gemara and Yavamas has, and Mishnah has, and it's a complicated principle, but we've spoken about Arayas, Tzaras Ereva. We've spoken about when a Yavama has another Ereva floating on her, and you can't do Yibum. So why not do Chalitza then? So the Gemara has a drasha there, but also Yibum Parashara, As a general rule, there might be one exception, I can think of, and probably if you go through all of the Yavamas, maybe you can find in the cracks and the margins a couple of things that look like exceptions. But as a general rule, any time you see in Yavamas, in a Mishnah, in a Braisa, in a Amora, that Choletzes v'lo Mesiabemes, that you do Chalitza na'ibon, it's for one of two reasons. It's either Midirabanan or it's Misafik. It's either a case, I'll take the latter case first, forgive me for not being a chacham. If you have a case where you're not sure whether the woman is an erva or not, the suffix. So what do? Well, you can't do yibum because it's a suffix katnis or karis. But you can't let her remarry without chalitza because maybe it's not an erva and there's a chiv or yuga chalitza and she's yivam alashuk. So sometimes choletzes v'lo mesiabemes, so the expression occurs frequently, is a suffix. But if it's not a suffix, then it's a chumra midrabana. It's a gzeira. For example, what happens if a kohen has a, let's keep it simple. I was going to go to a simpler case, but it's got its own problems. And that might be one of the rare exceptions to the rule. I'm going to give you a very narrowly tailored case, but it's a good case. You have a kohen gadol. And you have a Kohen Hegel. The Kohen Hegel marries a woman, has had Erusin, but they haven't had Nisuin yet. And then the Kohen Hegel dies. So his wife is a Vesula, but she's also an Almana. Can the Kohen Gadol do Yibum on his brother's wife? The Mishnah will say, Choletzes v'lo Mesiabemes. Why? Because he's the Kohen Gadol, you don't want to marry an Almana. However, you should have said that the Mitzvah Saseh of Yivama Yavo Alecha is the Ochel Lo Saseh of Almana Grusha V'Chalas Ones Eilu Lo Yikath. So why don't we say the Ochel Lo Saseh? So the Gemara's Maskona, as it puts it, is we do. And Midaraisa, it would be Mutter to do Yibam. But you're only allowed to do Yibam. After you do the Yibam, they would then have to get divorced because the Yavshniya is not the Mitzvah of Yibam. So the Gemara says it's a Gzeila Bia Rishona of the Bia Shnia. So many of these Surei Lavin could do Yivon, but the Chachamim goes there not to do it because only the first Bia will be Mutter, and then once you've done the first Bia, you've done the Mitzvah Yivon, now she becomes his wife. Now the Isser, whatever Lavin was, in this case Amano Kohen Gadol, snaps back. So in that case, when we say, you know, that, and if you have other cases, you have, I mean, the easier case with the Kohen Hedio is a Kohen Hedio has a brother who's a Chalom. Chalal marries a woman, she's by definition once they have a halala, the chalal dies. Now it's up to the Kohen Hegel to do Yibam or Chalitza, and he's not allowed to do the lav. So really he is, I say dochalos, I say kudu birishana, but there birishana to birishina, chalatzas from Amasayadanis. The only case I can think of offhand, and it's not 100% from the Maskana of the Gemara, there's one case that I think offhand that might fall in those cracks, where, but I don't know if we actually require the Raisa Chalitza there, I just can't think of it. It's a Kohen Gadol. Kohen Hedyo marries a woman and gets married, has Nisuin, and now he dies. So then, the reason why his brother can't marry her is, number one, she's not a Vesula. Hu Isha Vesula Yikach. The only place of her, by the way, it says the Hu Isha. And, number two, she is an Almana also. And the rule is, I say, it's not the, you like that, friend? An Almana is not the, that's if you know the corn booth, that's one I learned from the corn booth. You know that. Yeah, echoes of that family. And Aseh is not Docha Aseh and Alos Aseh. It's only Docha Alav. Aseh is not Docha Aseh. And Aseh is only Docha Alav. So then I remember even Medina, whether one is required. You like that, Nisim, don't you? Yeah. For those who missed the quick line, it's because there's a masif on it. Vihu, Isha, Vinsuleho, Yukah. But they're great. You go to a fried Shalosh Shubis, you ask something to the table. Where did you say the Torah? Who Isha? Very contemporary reading. So by Yibum, the general rule is if you're able to do Yibum, then you need Yibum Machalitza. If you cannot do Yibum Midaraisa, as a general rule, there's no requirement of Chalitza. This is the conflict. This is the case where I think we would say you do Chalitza. Because there is a Chiyuv of Yibum. It's just that if you do the, it's not that there's necessarily Yibum. It's that after you do the Yibum, the snapback of the Kiddushin is going to make a total mess of things. If you do Chalitza, she was, in a case of Almanas, she was your brother's wife. She was Muteres to you right now at the time. So you could have done Yibum in theory. There was a chiyuv, she was what we call Zukuka Leyavam. You were not, she's not there with you. You do Chalitza, doesn't violate the thread. Turns out she was married to your brother. You didn't have Yisuin. and everything is good. But it's a very, but it turns out that it's a very, if you say that it's al-tanai, which is amanas, which is what the Bible is going to say, to make sense out of Rabbi Tarfon's taina, then you're really left with the fact that it's not at all parallel to me'atha lo yusef vita, it's bas achiv. Because no se bas achiv, there is no chiyuv of yibum in such a case. One would say you're not being ogre mitzvah yibum, it's not, there's no mitzvah tchal. Whereas if you say it's amanas, which is the Bible's maskana, then the two are not, and so if you don't, if you say it's chutz, then it's like, then it's the erev is sufficient, like the erev abasa hoso. It's the same thing, and you found this question, at least a reasonable question, and you can like the answer, not like the answer. Whereas if you say it's almanas, the way the Bible is going to conclude, then the question is not, I mean, and by the way, Rava's going to say the same thing. Rava's going to say the same thing. That the pirchot, Rava says, again for a reminder if you haven't seen it, Rava says, it's not under the course, it's a continuation of the Gemara. Rava says, kulu islu pircha, except for Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Tanya Nami Hachi, Am Rabbi Yosef, Rani Esther Elazar ben Azariah. And the Gemara then goes on Pegimah to explain what all the pirchas are. What is the weakness in Rabbi Tarfon's question, Rabbi Yosef Lili's question, Rabbi Akiva's question, both sudden. So Rava does, the pircha of Rava is, Me'atha Layisa Adam is Basachim. But that's the pircha that he offers. Okay. Now here's where the Yerushalmi gets difficult. Okay, Jake, can you take over?
Right.
Taman means Shema. Right. That's Aramaic. The Shin is a tough. So Rabbi Yosef by Rabbi Abun or Rabbi Abin says that the one case the Torah asar asalav, and here he created the Issa. Right, you didn't create the Isser of Bito, right? Bito of Torah Asser. Now your brother Mary, sir. Again, the question is that my problem is it's not the problem is not that she's a Surish of Bito. The brother did choose to marry her and potentially set up that situation. Okay, fine. Now, Hesiv. What's the question?
In the
parish, in the Bible, it should say 50, not 50. Right. The opening Mishnah gives you every possible, and how do you know, by the way, that it's giving you every possible example of Arayas? Maybe it's not a complete list. Well, firstly, it obviously is, from a literary perspective, and the Gemara does talk about this in Yevamos, the fact that it says Chamesh Asrei Nashim, as opposed to saying Elu, suggests that there are 15, and the Gemara makes a bit of that. In addition, there's a Mishnah later in the parak which says Sheish Arayos Hamuros Me'elu, which because they're never allowed to marry your brother Beheter, that's Saras Hamutaros. What that means is, let's say two brothers share a sister from the father. Just as you can't do Yibam on her, your brother can't marry her. And therefore, your brother's never married, so there never will be such as Yibam Halitza. What if your sister married some stranger, unrelated to the family, and that stranger was married to your sister and another wife, and that stranger dies. Dies with children, without children, yes, the brother, let's say, dies with children. Are you allowed to marry your sister's rival wife? The answer is yes. Because the Isser of Tzarah is only in a scenario in which there was a mitzvah of Yibam, potentially. When your sister marries a total stranger, it's not an issue. So the fact that the Mishnah goes out of its way to juxtapose 15 and 6 seems to make it clear that those are comprehensive lists. But according to Rabbi, so according to the Chachamim, there's no way to add a 16th because you can't have an Ashes Ish for you, but not for your brother. There's no such thing as an Ashes Ish for some and not others. But for Rabbi Eliezer, you could have a person who's an Ashes Ish to the living brother, but not an Ashes Ish, could have been married to the dead brother. And therefore, why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer, according to him, it should have said, Sheish Asrei Nashim? Yeah. Is it there? Yes. Yeah, the Mishnah closes also with a Harei Elu. So the Gemara makes all sorts of deep. And what does the Chamesh Esrei exclude? What does Harei Elu exclude? You know, because there are a few other odd. The other oddball cases are depending on. Some say Tzaras Ailonis is a surah also. We spoke of that, this islands, right? The woman who is hormonally never developed. Some of those might be actually XY, double X, but were I don't know if it's XY, but the due to a lack of some receptor never developed into a man. So genetically, male is a Y, he or she is. Those are the halakhically true transgender cases, the ones that are recognized halakha. The term from the androgynous, probably what the transsexual is the term that's used today. So that's probably, I know this is probably something like that. So she externally is kind of female, at least in her genitalia, but she never really goes through puberty because she doesn't have, I guess, the estrogen receptors or whatever it is. So I told you that an islandess gets chopped out of the picture, we just pretend she's not there, and you do whatever you do with the rest of the wives. But there is a sheet in the Gemara that Saras Islandis is also Asura. But I don't think we require Chalitz according to that sheet. I think they're just all Keturos. So the Gemara works with those, but it's a precise count. So while according to Rabbi Lezer, there should be 16 Nashim. Now, I could answer that question really easily. What's the easy answer to that question? Yeah, who says the Mishnah? If the Mishnah were going to be taught according to one Tana, I think Rabbi this, it would not be the opinion that it would be taught according to. So, bottom line, it doesn't surprise me that even Rabbi Elazar, maybe he would. You should know, by the way, Levi, the Amora, Rabbi's student, who kind of had his own Mishnah anyway, he had 16 Arayas. Anybody know how he got 16 Arayas? He actually moved, I think, one of the Arayas from the 6th to the 15th. I think it's in the 6th. Emo, a person's mother. Now, stop for a second. How is it possible that a brother marries a mother? But it's his mother. Well, the answer is obvious. What's the answer?
Father,
two wives. That's easy. But what's the why is it not in the first initial? So the Gemara explains. Now, firstly, we shouldn't have said it's wrong. If the father had two wives, it would be a non-starter. It should be Eisha Sava. However, the Torah says you're not allowed to marry your father's wife. It doesn't say that you're not allowed to marry a woman who had bia with your father, what we call Anusa Sava Mufuta Sava. And Jake, in this week's parsha, it says, "Vayikach ish is eishes aviv, v'lo yigaleh penach aviv." And two pesukim later, it says, "Vayavo mamzer b'tal Hashem." And they understand that the definition of what makes a mamzer is dependent upon lo yikach and lo yigaleh. And according to Rabbi Yehuda says, "Lo yigaleh means knaf aviv, means knaf shera aviv lo yigaleh, knaf shera aviv, which means the garment, uncovered garment that his father saw." Is a lav against anusa sav and mufuta sav. There's no karis and there's no misa, but it's an erva. That any woman, normally, let's say, this everybody agrees upon, a man can marry someone with whom his son had a relationship. Anusa spino, mufuta spino, it's a mishnah, everybody agrees. Anusa sav and mufuta sav is a machlokas. So therefore, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and the first mishnah doesn't say imo, so the Gemara suggests that it's Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Why is Emo not counted? Because a brother can never marry Emo. Why can't your brother marry your mother if she was never married to your father? It's a different one, a different wife. The answer is because it's Anusa Sama Futa Sama. Now, I could come up with a case anyway. What if it were artificial insemination? Even Rabbi Yehuda should be Moda. Even Rabbi Yehuda should be Moda that your brother can marry her because she is your mother. You were conceived through artificial inclination. But she's not a Nusa Sava, Futa Sava. And unless you think I'm crazy in saying that, I can almost guarantee you, if you start thinking through an Acharonim, they're going to ask that question, because the Gemara does have this crazy idea, it's a Gemara Chagiga, which is, it's crazy, it's true, but it's crazy in its manifestation, is this Abra Me'abacha. What if a woman became pregnant with Bantash? There is a bizarre medrash, I forget what the medrash is. It's not the alpha beta, the ben sira. There's a bizarre medrash which is important, l'halacha l'maisa, which says that ben sira was Yirmiyahu's son from his daughter. I'm not even going to say the story is so bizarre in the medrash, but Yirmiyahu had a seminal initiative in the beis hamerchatz, in the bathhouse, in the water, and then his daughter based subsequently became pregnant. I don't think it's really possible to. You can have artificial insemination, but it's not going to happen that way. What? I'm not even going to tell you how it happened. That's bizarre. That doesn't even go on. You think, one second. I'll tell you why that's so important. That medrash is cited by the Rokeach to prove that if a number one, it's cited to explain why there is a concern that a wife should not sleep on the sheets that her husband slept on when she's in Nida. for fear exactly of the thing that she becomes in seminary, ben anida. But in that context, I think it's clear. I think maybe it's mutter in that case. Maybe it is mutter in that case, actually. And in that case, they quote the idea that if one of the arayos was inseminated artificially, meaning sabar matcha, you see from the Ben Sira story that the child's not a mamzer, because Ben Sira is not described by Chazal as a mamzer. And this is a obviously incredibly important source in terms of artificial insemination. You know, when they have to use someone else's sperm, or when they choose to do that, because they can't use the husband's sperm, so the child is not a mamzer. That's where Moshe's tshuva. So the question of, but then Chazal, the Gemara Chagiga, I forget the context in the second paragraph, I believe, mentions the past in this Abra Be'avacha, and that's how you could have virgin birth. In which case, it would not be Anusasav as a Mufutasav. So even for Levi, if you don't hold, like, Levi amended the Mishnah, put Imo in the first Mishnah, because we don't pass the Chagiga. We pass the Anusasav and Mufutasav as Mutta, only when it's Ashasav or Imo biologically. But anyway, so the numbers are really dafka. So Rabbi, the answer in a Hanani could have said, I hold the 16. Right? The Mishnah is not following us, right?
Can I show the issue of why in the Hanukkah those that we know in lots of modern issues for lunch?
What's that?
Can I show why in the Hanukkah those that we know in modern issues for lunch?
Yeah, you could ask it then. All right. Fine. So the answer, what's the answer? Go ahead. Amar Rabbi Mana,
Kvar Yitmar Tamba to be a Torah Asala, that I'm half a Tua Asala.
Okay, so you can give the very same answer. The reason why it's not, the arise from the Mishnah, we don't say you shouldn't marry them in the first place because it will master lack or double the Torah, because they're the Torah prohibited. Here you're the one who's creating the Erva. By the same token, Rabbi Eliezer, if he were teaching the Mishnah himself, he would only count 15 and count 16 because it doesn't fit the paradigm of all the other arayas in the Mishnah. Okay, sorry, that's not the hard part. It's the next two lines that get to be fine. Okay. Go ahead. No, no below by it. It's Israel, we're not talking about a Yibum case anymore. Now, Rabbi Yirma is asking a question, which this part is pretty straightforward. If a person says, and she goes and marries another guy, and that guy dies, so hech is probably it's a strange word. I think the Moshe that wants to read this, I think, is a mace hech, and that one dies. But hech is an odd locution here, because Rav Yirmiyah is asking a question as opposed to where he might actually be challenging what came before. How was the question formulated? Hech de mach de mach asal rishon? What's that? So I would say, well, who says he is? Okay, so let's take a look in the Karban Eda for a second. And the Karban Eda says, his gear for Hachi Garcina, and you know whenever anybody says Rashi or any commentary says Hachi Garcina, what does that mean? They're changing the Gersa. That means they're changing the Gersa. Whenever Rashi says, you should know, whenever Rashi says Hachi Garcina, Rashi is changing the Gersa. You should know that the introduction to the Sefer HaYashar, Rabbeinu Tam, we have two volumes of work. I don't know how they came to be. One of them is Chidushim al Hashas, and one of them are Tshuvos, Shelos or Tshuvos, of Rabbeinu Tam called the Sefer HaYashar. So there's the Chelek HaChidushim, the Chelek HaTshuvos. In the introduction to the Chelek of the Chidushim, which theoretically many of those appear in our Tosfos. So in that introduction, Rabbeinu Tam goes ape against what he calls the Magiyei Sfarim. He attacks his brother Rashbam, and he says, we know there's a Chayrim against Magiyei Sfarim, how do we know who instituted that Chayrim? And as much as my grandfather Rashi emended, my brother Rashbam did 10 times as much. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. He was really upset about it. He said, you don't, not Magiyei Sfarim. You don't change the Sfarim to solve the problems. You got to take the Gersos as they are. So whenever you see Hachi Garcia in any commentary, it usually means they're making an emendation fix. That's what it means in Rashi. It happens to be that many of those in Rashi wound up in the text of the Gemara. Yes, sir.
Well, that many texts might the manuscript reading of the Rabbi line.
I'm sorry?
In the manuscript, the Rabbi line is Mises the Echav Kamis Lobanim.
Okay. Okay, but we understand. I'm not gonna. The reason why we're gonna cut out the Lobanim is because obviously it's not actually important in this context.
Right. If you think it's the Echav, then it sounds like a lot like it.
An Art Gersa should have Mises has it as. Hold on. We have La'acher. Does the manuscript have La'echad? Yeah, okay. The truth is, it doesn't actually matter. La'achid.
So, is that the same question that we had before? Some of what we have
to separate
the opposite assumption.
Well, let's hold on a second. So, let's read the carbonator first. So, Halchi Garcina, Nen Rav Shimon Alaza, Horesha Amar Bechule, Lahocha Benises La'acher Begirsha, Amar Allah, Haret Muter Sechodam, Hesu Amatu Masha Asar Rishon. V'chein hu b'tosefta. V'hochi perushu. V'tan yuhasam b'tosefta. Mo'le Rav Lezer, Shem Nisarmu, Nisgarsha, Shem Nisgarsha, Shem Nisgarsha, 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 U'matsha Rav Shimon Alaza, if efshar shiyakir z'ha'achron Masha Asar Arisha. So basically, he's presenting as this is the exact same question that Shimon Lazar asked, and it's being asked against Rabbi Eliezer's position. How is it that one person can be makir and Isser that they didn't create? I can't be makir, and that is a chacham. I can't go to a chacham and be makir your neder for you. You're the one who at least has to go back to Arsene Dhan. Okay, so what's the answer to Yushalmi? We'll go back and read the Karbin in a second. It's this answer. Milsa. Okay, now this is very strange, but let's take this. Let's read with the Gersa we have. Milsa Amra, what does Milsa Amra mean? The closest thing, I mean, it's not technically, but, right?
He said it himself.
Well, I would say this is like Hada Milsa. Hada Amra, excuse me. Hada Amra in the Yerushalmi means? Zos Omeris. Right? So, Bob, you have an expression about it. Hada Amra is the Yerushalmi. So, this means Milsa Amra. This thing, we don't know which thing it is, tells us. It's like Zos Omeris, but we've got to figure out what the Milsa is. What is the word? What is the statement that tells us the following? Shemisaso is Gerishin. Umatirin Bazer Masha Asar Harishan. And that Gerishin, you know, his death, and what's his death? Mace. Mace in the previous life is like a Gerishin, and it undoes what the first one asked. It sounds like that the death of the new husband, which she was allowed to marry, undoes what the first one left us. That's what the word said. We can change it if we like, because there's going to be a lot of changes here. Now, in response to that, before we go back to Kaveda, Amar of Yirmiya.
Amar
of Yirmiya,
lo Amar Ella,
Chin Kata Gershin, Hanisun Bo. Okay. So Rav Yirmiya says, the same Rav Yirmiya who's asking the question the previous line says, that lo Amar Ella Shem Misaso Gershin, Hanisun Lo. So what does that mean? You understand why it's very tempting to amend the Yerushalmi to say whatever you want to say. You can write a comment on it, right? So it's only true, it sounds like, and this comes very close, I think, to the Pnei Moshe's reading, actually. It's only true if Shemisaso Gerishin, that Misa doesn't. But Nisuin does not. Now that's why I raise the possibility is that it could have been that while she's married to this husband, she's still an ish lagabe the other guy. Whereas once the death or divorce comes from the second husband, then not only is the second husband dead or is divorced, but the kiddushin of the rishon dissolves as well. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like Amar El Shini Saso Gerishin Honisuin Lo. Now, I don't think anybody, so let's see, Let's see where the Parvat Eva does with this. So firstly, he has just the first part doesn't really tell us much. He says it's a challenge rather than an observation or a question, an open question. Okay, so now the Karban Eda says, Milsa Amra, Midvarav Shal Inan, the Moda Rabbi Eliezer, Shemisaso Vigelishin Shal Hasheni, Osrin, Matirin Masha Asa Arishan Ucha the Precious. So Milsa Amra, he takes the first half of the statement. Milsa Amra Shemisaso, and he's reading really, I would say, Shemisaso Vigerishin Matirin, which is how Lieberman wants to amend, and that's how Zussman also reads in the Yerushalmi.
It's like a bit of a narrative, but he makes it a narrative, they just move it.
What do you mean? Everybody, he does, Shemisaso Vigerishin Shel Hasheni. Matthew, how do you see that any different? I mean, so all they're doing misa.
Misa vigerishin. He's the top and then he moves the vav.
Yeah, as opposed to saying misaso vigerishin.
Right, there's two
left. Okay.
Oh, I see. There's two vavs.
You're gonna have okay, fine. I'm not paying attention to how you get to the same place. But either way, that's a misatzo vigerishin matirin masha asa harishon. So again, it's kind of interesting. It's described as the misa vigerishin, not the kiddushin, which we discussed a little bit. If I'm giving a couple bizarre, clever nafkaminas, they count because they're sota related nafkaminas. They're very clever. But let's hold off on that. Maybe we'll share it a little later. But right now, I don't really care about Misa Begerushin versus the Nisuin itself. When the husband marries her, the hetter, this husband is allowed to marry, I would have thought that's what dissolves the rest of his Kiddushin. But anyway. So now, the Karban Eda continues. Hachi Garsinan, Amar Rab Yirmiya, Lo Amar Ela Gerushin, Avo Misasa Lam. Vahafi Perusha. So notice, he just changes to Nisuin, and he says that it is only Gerushin, but not Misa. Yeah. The way we have it is.
Only Misa, not Gerushin.
Sort of. Shemisasa is Gerushin, yes.
No, I mean, it's not Nisuin.
Jake, the reason why he can get away with it is one, the expression we were reading, Shemisaso is Gerushin. But the way he amended the first part is Shemisa Vigerushin Matirin. There's no idea that Misa is a Gerushin. I could explain it very nicely. His death is a Gerushin from the first husband, right? Finishing off the Gerushin. But once you change Shemisa or Misaso Vigerushin Matirin, then you don't want Misaso Gerushin in the second part. That, by the way, however, the second part is what makes the holy negation suspect. Just one step. You know, fool me once, shame on you, but fool me twice, it's less likely. But okay. So he says, V'hachi perusha, Rabbi Yirmiya Palag Asama D'shas. The Shas said, Misa and Gerushin both work to dissolve the husband's first marriage, what was left of the first marriage. The Ka'amar lo shamina mitibrim shimon lazar, Ela the Rabbi Eliezer Matzah the Gerush Hasheni Shomer Beferush Aret Materes Lachalada Ava Misa Hasheni Esher the Sover the Inam Materes Isur Shal Hanishon. In other words, only a get for the second marriage works to make the first one mitzvah, because when the second husband says Aret Materes Lachalada, she is now Materes Lachalada. Okay. And again, by the way, that makes clear that it's after the Gerushin, not the original Nisun for the second husband. Right? It's not the way he says, I ran with Hashem Chalana. I find that to be obviously bizarre, but that's because I think when you dig down to the core definition of Kiddushin, Rabbi Eliezer's concession probably goes on the Kiddushin, not on the dissolution of the second marriage. It seems obvious to me, but.
Can you explain what it means for Nisun to dissolve first?
It means when you get married. If you were to say that yours is Nisuin, or not, no, if you say, in other words, the way the Karban Eda is clearly explaining, when the husband she's allowed to marry, when she marries, she was divorced from one guy, with the exception of, she goes and marries somebody she's allowed to marry. Kermit Ada says, at that particular stage, she still has this bond of marriage to the first guy. If only, and if he dies, the second husband, she still has that bond of marriage to the first guy. It's only if the second husband divorces her. Says Haream with Parashachal Adam, by means of the divorce, he has now dissolved the original marriage, because she's in the Parashachal Adam. Yes, Jim?
Is this all implied from the word of
Mamet? All implied by what?
It's all implied from the word Mamet, and the statement. Or does it come from somewhere else?
Oh, you mean, well, Adaraba, you're that's very sharp. You're saying, right? As opposed to, in which case, this would be in agreement with the Maskana,
yeah.
Which is that Devashin would. The problem is the Sara remains even more so, right? I would have argued that, if I would argue my own, I would argue Misa is more likely to dissolve the bond of the first husband than Devashin, because Misa is God dissolving it. Gerushin, I mean, he may sometimes be helped along by people, but fundamentally, it's God's decision. Husband dies, wife is muta. Whereas Gerushin, the husband is the one who's matir, right? Mutar Shaladam. The question is far sharper there. Like the Karban Eda, so you're right, it might be that that if you read Rabbi Yirmiyah as a question, I mean, it's inconceivable that he's matir. So then, Rabbi Yirmiyah could be consistent that Misa's not matir, but Gerushin is matir. But the logic to me is counterintuitive. Gerushin should be able to do it less because that's the husband being matter as opposed to Misa, which is in Shemayim. Right?
It
wasn't
like you have Gerushin rather than Misa.
Correct. I'm going to review, what's that? I'm reviewing me a statement?
Reviewing
me a
statement, you change the
version of my law. Well, he says, the honor of Gerushin, I'm a Misa love.
He hasn't changed earlier in the Lashon.
There, hold on, he's just laughing over here rather than Lace. Where does he have? Does he quote the first part? Oh, the whole thing is in the Girsha.
That's how we get
the
gun of
Mace. Oh, I see, right. Correct. Okay. Correct. Right. So he has that match up really with, in which case you don't have to say. Oh, by the way, hold on. He does something much more radical than that. I should have pointed this out. Who's talking in the first line? Yeah, not Rabbi. Okay, yes, so, but he also changes it to what it will be. Right? Right. In other words, Rabbi is directly arguing on that. Okay. Fine.
He has to change the name.
So maybe this is right. I mean, maybe the Rabbi Yirmiyah, because there is a Rabbi, according to the Kermit Eda, there is a Rabbi Yirmiyah who's involved in the discussion.
Correct, but
he's involved a little later. But maybe.
But he's arguing. The point is that Rabbi Shimon Laza said it's inconceivable.
Right.
And Rabbi Yirmiyah, the problem.
He's defending Rabbi Shimon Laza.
What's that?
He's defending Rabbi Shimon Laza.
But he's not, because Rabbi Shimon Laza says by Gerushin, Heif Zemate Mashas Arishan. And Rabbi Yirmiyah says only Gerushin. Now, the way the Kermit explains is that the son of the Gemara. No. What?
Rabbi Yirmiyah says, no, don't be nafsha on this thing of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Because he's not saying that, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is not telling you that that Gerushin can be taught. Or just the assumption you had.
In the Kermit of this Gersa, the first part is that Holcha. Meniseis la'acher and the Niskarsha, the Girsha, Amar Aleihem Reperes Lachal Adam, Heich Demate Mesh Asar Rishon. If that's what Shimon was, he's saying, it doesn't work. Then the Gemara says, Milsa Amra, and the Karbanis says, it's not going back on Shimon was, it's going back on Rabbi Eliezer, which is not in Yerushalmi. Milsa Amra, Shemisaso Misa Begirishin, Armatir Mesemash Asar Rishon. And Rav Yirmiyah comes along and says, only Gerushin, not Misa. That's the way the Karban Eda demands and leads. So you really have three opinions, if you want. Rav Shimon, probably. Shimon Lazar says that Gerushin doesn't work, and probably Misa. And the Stama of the Gemara that says both work, and Rav Yirmiyah who brokers capitalize. Now let's talk about the Tanei Moshe's reading.
I just didn't quite understand that. How's he saying that
because just read in the carbonate itself. Nana Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Harisha Amar Anitas Lachadam Chosifoni, the Hocha Venisis Lacha Vigirsha, the Amar Allah, Harayat Mutaris Lachal Adam, Hech Ve Matir, Masha Asa Harisha. It's Hocha Venisis Lacha Vigirsha, not Miss. So the Lashon and Lashon says, even by a Gerishin, you can't marry. It doesn't work. Rav Yirmiyah says it works only by Gerishin. And the Milta Umra, that anonymous statement, the way that Carmen reads it, says it works by both Misa, the Gerishin, and Matir.
What is Milta Umra?
So he says it's going back on a Braisa that the Yerushalmi doesn't quote. Rabbi, the answer is no, that if Shalcha and Isa is La'afer, that and got divorced or widowed, that the second guy is not take whatever's left for the first edition. Right? So it's odd to be responding to that, and that's why the explanation is so difficult of the Carbonada, because what are you responding to? And what is that statement and the subsequent discussion have to do with the price of tea in China?
No, but why does it have to be a specific right to this wherever you have others spelled that out? Why can't it be what he's assuming from
wherever
he does that?
Well, why would you just stick this in the middle of the discussion of the Tanoim? I understand. What? I understand why the statements of Me'acha lo Yisas Basochet and Amar Rabbi Yosef Eriabu and Sarah and Hesed Lechananya and Amar Rabbi Mana, those all belong here because they're sort of a sidebar to Masna Masha Chesed Karabata. But what is Rabbi Yirmiyah's Bayi doing here?
It's a new question.
It's a new
question.
Who?
Rabbi Eliezer.
You introduce in the middle of the statements of the Tanaim a bayah from the Amorai. Why not move on? Rabbi Yosef Belili, Matzina Bekara. So then we're done with that. Could bring the Rabbi Yirmiyah.
Wait,
Rabbi Yirmiyah
Ben
Elazar
is an Amora?
No, Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Shimon Elazar doesn't belong in the middle, right in the middle here. He's asking. He's not responding. They're challenging. According to Shimon Elazar, the fact that she might be Mutaris to everybody and also to this guy, he doesn't challenge that. He's just challenging a different statement of Rabbi Eliezer, that who says that even though I say she's Asur to this guy and Mutaris to everybody else, but should she marry one of the Heter people, now she becomes Mutaris to everybody.
No, I think he's assuming that that's what Rabbi Eliezer thinks, and it's ridiculous.
Okay, Rabbi Shimon Elazar is what generation? Who's his father? Rabbi Elazar, who's Rabbi Elazar? Elazar ben Shemua. Remember, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. They cross name. Those are the Tanaim you'll find. The generation of Usha's children, they cross name. I'm not sure to say that's why they did, but it just happens to be that way. It works nicely to remember. So Rabbi Shimon Elazar is fifth generation. Got it. He doesn't belong in a discussion of the third generation of Tanaim attacking Rabbi Eliezer. So it doesn't belong in the middle here. It belongs later, unless there's a connection. And if it's Rav Yirmiyah, it certainly doesn't belong here, right?
There's precedent for another statement making in the middle of the crisis.
I'm sorry.
There's precedent for another statement making in the middle of the crisis.
I would like to see that as backfill, but I'd like to see that as backfill. Does Tosef to have it that way?
It has it in different places.
So the Karban Eida was bothered by the question. Because the Karban Eida is going to tie whatever his reading is contextually into the middle of this price, and I think the Lieberman does also within the Gersa, even though it's the same as the Karban Eida. So let's talk about the Pnei Moshe for a second. This is why it's so hard to read Yerushalmi, because you've got to pay attention to what Gersa they're creating in order to understand, you know, what commentary they're having. So the Pnei Moshe says the following. What is it? Okay. Vaholcha v'niseis la'achar umeis. Garsina medivir of Yirmiyah. The sifri had the first cause of le'ochiv umeis v'lobanim cause of usu agav shitza de'le'el. It's an error that crept in from before. Vaholcha v'niseis la'achar umeis heich. Hadim. Kloma. The Rav Yirmiyah boy alibin Rabbi Yedesa desriya le'm uteres l'cholcha t'meis l'poni. V'niseis la'achar umeis ma'asha ken yase achshav l'poni. So Rav Yirmiyah was asking a question. What does Rabbi Yedesa... The Yerushalmi doesn't cite the Braisa, so we don't really know what Rabbi Eliezer holds. So Rav Yirmiyah wants to know, what does Rabbi Eliezer hold when the woman marries another guy and then gets divorced a widow? What happens to the first kiddushin? It was a question. So Although, it was a straight question. Review me a boy. So, Milsa Amra, the Ka'amra Hashas, the Yushalmi says, the anonymous man of the Yushalmi says, the mighty boy of the Rabbi Yirmiyah. Hoshamina mi Milsa is the Rabbi Eliezer. Shemisaso Shoshemi Kigerishim Gemurinhe, Umate Bizemasha Asa Harishim. The Yushalmi is saying, of course Rabbi Eliezer holds its mother. Why? The E Lav Hachi Kasha or Rabbi Eliezer, the Nimses Oker Davimanatora, Nimses the Achet Umes, the Lavana Kamasha Hesha Rabbi Tafanala. Alavanta, the Lacha Misa Sasheni, Mutter Laploni, Metaima to Amor. So he says the Yushalmi is saying the following. Of course she is. Muteris according to Rabbi Eliezer when she married someone else. Because otherwise, Rabbi Eliezer would have no teres for Rabbi Tarfon's kasha. Rabbi Tarfon's kasha was that if she married the brother of this guy, and now she's going to come to a situation of Yibum, it's Master Lacha Davamana Torah, Sabi, it's left, because it's Mutter to do Yibum with the brother, because once the first brother married her, and he died, it dissolves the first Kiddushin.
But there's already a teres. You don't need that teres to...
What's the teres?
That it's not part of the
yeah, okay, so he's offering a different approach. He doesn't buy into that. He doesn't buy the Teretz. The son of the Gemara, yes, he will say explicitly, I think, the Yushalmi, I think Lieberman says this also, they don't buy the Teretz, the first Teretz. I gave you a good reason why they shouldn't buy the first Teretz.
So it should be written up there as a Teretz.
Oh, no, so that's easy, because they just had to finish discussing that, because the Teretz was the difference between you offering versus the Torah offering, and so then they quote the question where that's the same answer. Yeah. Okay. So now, he says, Milsa Amar, Vakamar Shas, the mighty brother of Yirmiyah. Right, okay, right. Lo Amar Elisha Musaso Gerishim. So now, Klomar, Hashka de Tashkina Le, Mi Milsa Grablesa de Sri Lehachi, Velo Amar Elisha Musa Tashkini Osa Gerishim Gemur, in the Parasaponi, Ha Nisuin Lo. Now, Ava Unise Slaachar, Venis Garisha Himenu, Baha Lo Amrinon, the Muteres Achshav Lekloni. So Rav Yirmiyah is coming along to say it's true that Rabbi Eliezer's Moda, that if the second husband dies, she is Muteres to the original guy that was exempted or excluded. But not if he divorces her. Why? He says, because the Lo Shamina Mimilsa the Rabbi Eliezer Elamisa Osa Gerishin. That's the gerusha that we have in front of us in the printed text. Shem misaso makes gerushin. Mikoach poshe deleil for mitarfen's kasha. Avol misgarusha me'asheni lach shmamina. You don't learn from that. Ha nises lachem misgarusha ein kan yibum. There would be no yibum. For mitarfen's kasha wouldn't be a kasha. And therefore, maybe it doesn't work. Now, he doesn't say it that way, but he does quote the word nisuin, but it would seem... There would be two ways of reading the text according to the Moshe. One way to read is Amar Rav Yirmiyah, Amar Ella Shem Yisaso Gerushin. But Hanisuin, I guess he is only Hanisuin Lo. It should have said Hagerushin Lo. In other words, his Gerushin is not Gerushin. By saying Hanisuin Lo, what are you effectively stating? Contrary to my position, which is it's not the marriage to the brother that does away with it. It's the death of that second husband. Gerushin from the second husband may not be matir, says Rav Yirmiyah. Only Misa is definitely matir. And if it's possible that Gerushin and not matirin, obviously it shows you that it's not the marriage that does it, it's the manner in which the marriage is dissolved. What would the Svar be, by the way? Why would you say that Gerushin doesn't work, Misa does work? It's the exact opposite of what the Karban Ha'eda says. Right, the Karban Eida said that Misa doesn't do the job, it's Haran with Teresh HaChol Adam with the Get that does the job. Yeah.
Maybe you could say that the guy giving her the Get only has the jurisdiction to make Mudra to her what was originally Asa to her. But Hashem can just...
Okay, the Sar I just gave before, about fine. What else? Is that a possibility? Which might be the same thing as saying it, but... From a different vantage point, yes, sir.
That if the Gerushin could say, you're also not allowed to, but if it's a
you're close to where I want to go with this. I want to say, well, look, what are you going to say? He made her into a grusha? She already was a grusha. Now, in other words, he's just restoring what came before. She got gerusha once, she has gerusha again. Maybe his death serves as a mafkia in a different way. Okay, I think I like the first one better, but not exactly the same. Yeah, Frank?
Is the point of the ability to read that depending on the fact that you erased the end of the what we have as the lawyer? I mean, the end of the page rather than if the Magna Masha was the Risha. I mean, the point of the question is not he not being.
Yeah, but he does point that there's another Girsa in the Bavli and he likes that and that's fine too. You're correct. You are right though. By moving the Heich to being Umeis Heich, which is, seems not a likely reading, so he now just says Matir Masha Asar Rishon.
Does he have
to do that
all?
What's that?
Does he have to
do that all? I'm pretty sure he does. Hold on, where is it? It's always hard to find it here. Can I see it or not? Achi Garsi, no, not there. Where is it? Hocha Benisi Slach or Meis Heich. Zematir Mashal Sarisham. Right? You could just read the Heich. Somewhere I thought he said, maybe I'm mistaken, it was in a different part. Or maybe it was early on Rabbi Tarfon, that's probably where he said it. Where he had kind of another Girsa there. All right. So anyway, so bottom line is that he is reading the Sushami very differently. And we wind up with this possibility that Misa is a matir, but the Gerushin is not matir. The last part in this, so is already, let's see. Yes, so Lieberman says that the question was asked on Rabbi Tarfon, which is why did he say Heich Hi Misyabemes? He should have said Heich Ze Matir. The assumption is that she should be Muteres Misyabim, and Rabbi Tarfon should have asked, how can the second person be matir that which the first person was osa? The way Lieberman introduces this is that Rabbi Yirmiyah, who was a Bavli, knew. He knew that of this brisa, and therefore that would actually permit the evil, because once the first brother married her and dies, it would be no problem for him to do evil. So why does Rabbi Tarfon shouldn't be asking, Master Laka Davarman HaTorah, Rabbi Tarfon should have been asking, how is it possible that the Sheni can be Matir the Rishon? The Yerushalmi wants to know, why didn't he ask that question? Remember, why did he ask that question? And the answer to the question is that no. And he keeps the Girsa here. Misaso v'gerishin are matirin, nisuin are not matirin. And this requires a little explanation. But I'm going to keep you in suspense till Monday, because it's going to take a little bit of time to explain how he reads this. But I'm just going to tell you what his girsa is. His reading is the following. It is probably Rav Yirmiyah who asked the initial question. Let me just find it. Rav Yirmiyah is v'ayi harish amar lei rav minteras alu chotzidfon abil sa'ach armeis umeis. So Rabbi Tarfon, we know Rabbi Eliezer holds that the second guy can be Matir the Rishon. So it's not really a kasha. You can't ask a kasha against Rabbi Eliezer. You, Rabbi Tarfon, can't ask a kasha. He's Oker Damon HaTorah. He's not Oker Damon HaTorah according to Rabbi Eliezer. Because according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're allowed to have evil. Because when the first guy, right now the assumption is, when the first guy married her, it did away with the Issa. I don't know how the Lieberman reads the next line, but Milsa Amra, I know it's Girsid, Shemisa v'Gerushin. Oh, and this is part of the question. Milsa Amra, Rabbi Eliezer is Brisa, that Rabbi Yirmiyah knows because it's a Babylonian Brisa, because it's in the Bavli. It's in the Tosefta, but it's not in Shalmei v'Sefrei. That Brisa tells us that Misa v'Gerushin are Matir, Masha Asa Arishon, or Rabbi Kaplan should be asking that how can the Misa or the Gerushin be Matir Mash Asar Rishon? And Rabbi Yirmiyah responds, Lo Amar Ela Shem Misa VeGerushin Matir.
So he responds to his own question?
In response to the Stamas question, probably. Or maybe his own question, yeah. Could be his own question.
Because he was, you were mentioning things that she was about me.
Correct, and he knew, right. So it could be his own question. So Yirmiyah says, Lo Amar Ela Shem Misa VeGerushin Matir. But Nisuin or not. And now we have to explain what does that mean then? Because at the end of the day, she's going to be Muteres anyway. What does it matter to say? What difference does it make whether or not the Misa of his brother is Matir her, or the brothers of the Nisuin are Matir her? And you know what the answer to the question is going to be because I laid it out to you earlier in the week. But we'll go through this again on Monday. I hope you will do some Chazara over the weekend, really to catch up exactly where we are. And then we're going to, I'll explain what he explains. He's going to take that the concepts in Yibum, Misa Mapeles and Misa Rishon Mapilim, and use that to explain sort of what's going on in the conversation. Okay.